Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Does KC really have to put on a show against Manny's New York Giants in order to reduce the stress level of those in Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perl, there might be a little nothing to see here with an 0-2 Chiefs, right?
You could see that. Yeah.
You could see there's a lot of people who are saying, listen, you got to give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. They've got wide receivers missing. And they, started 0-2, had to go to Brazil. It's wonky. Chargers looked really good. And then they play the defending champion Eagles. And, you know, defense looks good. Offense can't do anything. Tush push can't do anything. So maybe you can give them a pass. But I heard something yesterday, and it was from Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated.
Why did you insert tush push into that?
Because now every time you mention the Eagles now, it's like you must mention this weird hack that they've been using for years. Yeah. That will be remembered as their asterisks, but we'll get to that later in the show.
You know, the O-line, crumble, tush push, all that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera. No one can officiate this stupid play. Okay. Everyone hates it except for you. Back to the Chiefs. So Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, who we both love and worked with for many years, he likened this 0-2 start with the Chiefs about how the Patriots, during their dynasty, used to use the month of September to, like, work out kinks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they would go 2-2 in September, and they would actually find out more about their team in these two, you know, in those four games, and then they would use that to catapult themselves into what we knew for, you know, two decades of dominance.
Right, Bill Belichick used the losses to coach harder. He loved it.
Right,
Week 4, I think you look at the Patriots always dropped a game.
Sure, this was the birth of On to Cincinnati and all of those things, right? The famous Belichickisms. I do not see this Chiefs team that way. I don't see this as a team who is trying to figure out what their pressure points are and then going to use that intel to make them a better team down the road. And I think I've got proof for that. I think this is a team that is caught on their heels because of the Rashee Rice suspension came down late.
Right.
And because Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy, in a, you know, boneheaded move, I guess more by Kelce than Worthy, had the wrong depth, you know, when they're running a crossing route, and Kelce basically body slammed his own guy by accident. And now Worthy missed a game. To me, if you really were using the first part of the season to try to figure out on offense what you have and what you don't, why don't guys who are deeper on the roster, why are they not getting actual real targets? Now, these are not household names. But why is there not a Nico Remigio getting more targets? Why is Tyquan Thornton not getting more targets?
It's called a touchdown.
Why is one?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big play.
Tyquan Thornton has had 9 targets and 4 catches in 2 games.
He's Tyquan Thornton. He's a cast off from the Patriots. What do you think? He's Jerry Rice?
Brashad Smith.
Who?
The backup running back. See, exactly, Pearl.
Or Miami Hurricane Brashad Smith.
Thank you, EJ. See, this is the thing. No, I don't think so. They're feeding and force-feeding Hollywood Brown.
You made up half those names right there.
I kid you not, I did. But I could have maybe snuck in a sneaker one in there, and you probably would have been. This is where I don't see it that way. I don't think this is Andy Reid, because if he actually was testing the pressure points of the offense, wouldn't he be a little bit more in his bag? And I don't think we're going to see a lot against the Giants either. I think this is a pure hold the fort. The offense is still not creative, you know, as far as what we expect from Andy Reid. It's predictable. And weirdly, those, you know, scripted plays are not really giving you what they used to, which would immediately put pressure on your opponent to go down the field and score immediately. So to me, this is not like the Patriots. this is not like trying to use September to figure stuff out. Maybe they can salvage it against the Giants, and then we'll see next week. But no, this to me is a team that's on their heels, not a team that's like outsmarting everyone.
Yeah, I think you have recent history that shows that they can adjust on the fly. And forget the receivers. The receivers are whatever they are. They rebuilt the O-line in 22 on the fly. And now the big problem is the O-line right now, because they have a rookie left tackle who got a little bagged up. They signed Jalen Moore.
Also saved a touchdown, though, and had one of the most amazing plays of the week.
It's not really the job of an offensive lineman to be a great tackler.
No,
but
he got up to 19 miles per hour running down.
Remember all the years where Reed, all of a sudden, you know, he basically cobbled together an offensive line throughout the season. And by the playoffs, all of a sudden, all the flags stop throwing. All of a sudden, Jawan Taylor magically stops getting flags at a certain point.
Yeah.
And Donovan, what was the other guy? Donovan Smith, who like set the record. Those guys became good by the end of the year. Andy Reid has a magical power to rebuild an offensive line on the fly, and I think he can do it this year too, because they're very young. I think it's going to take time. The wide receivers will come off suspension. There are a lot of reasons to think that they can put this thing back together and be a much better team than they've shown the first 2 weeks.
Listen, that's fine, right? We've got lots of history to show that the Chiefs are not dead yet, but it's going to be tough for them to win the division. And I guess I just reject the idea that this is kind of a master plan. Like with Belichick,
oh, I see what you say, yeah.
When they would like be, you know, working out the kinks or what have you in September, you always felt like it was the setup for the knockout blow. I don't see that here with Andy Reid and the Chiefs, which is funny because I have a ton of respect for Andy Reid, and especially as an offensive guy, no doubt. But I see them as just trying to hold on and hold the fort. There's no, you know, they came out with a lot more effort, passion, whatever, like aggression, however you want to say it, in the second game as opposed to the first game. But still, you didn't see a lot of creativity. Andy Reid's play calling has come under fire. And I think if you really were trying to see what you have on the roster, you actually get some of these more no-name guys involved in your offensive game plan. And I don't see that. They're relying so much on Mahomes. And I get it. It's Patrick Mahomes. But he's your leading rusher. You know, that's not sustainable. And Isaiah Pacheco is either looking still slow coming off an injury, or he's running right into the backs of his offensive linemen. And I know he was awesome in a Super Bowl, but that's coaching, I guess. Like, is that either not hitting the hole or coaching or what have you?
I think he's changed since his injury.
Maybe. Okay, yeah. So then that's why you go and try out backup running backs and not make Patrick Mahomes have to, you know, scramble for 50 yards when that's not figuring out your offense. That's just asking Mahomes to put on a cape.
Yeah, I mean, of course, everything you just mentioned starts and ends with the offensive line. If they can get that unit playing at a Chiefs level, then I would watch out. I wouldn't even worry about any of that stuff. There is one silver lining. You have to admit the defense looked really good against the Eagles. And I understand people are criticizing Chris Jones, their star defensive tackle. I mean, the Eagles really couldn't do much of anything. The Eagles had to play quite conservatively because they did not. Hurts was under too much pressure to really develop any kind of passing game. So I think Kansas City, let's face it, man, it become a defensive-oriented team. That is a defensive team. I don't know how it happened. So they actually, and even against the Chargers, like they were okay. They held up okay on that first game in Brazil. I think that they are redefining themselves on the fly. So whether it's I don't know if Bill Belichick intentionally lost it. This is all part of some Andy Reid master plan. I agree with you. That is not the case.
No.
But there is
I don't want to be sold that, you know, this is all part of the plan. It's like, it's not.
But there is enough positive that you could see them, even if they don't win the division, being an incredibly dangerous AFC team. And I know you believe that, as a Bills fan.
Of course. They're still the boogeyman. All respect. But here's the other part. I think that it actually does matter what it looks like against the Giants. Because the Giants' defense, which we thought was going to be very good.
Good in week one.
Yeah, okay. Not great. The Cowboys, that was an entertaining game, but that was like an offensive slugfest, you know? That was teams trading shots there at the end of games and stuff like that. And ultimately, they lose the game in overtime. I think for Kansas City, this really does matter how it looks for the offense. You're right. Defense, okay. You and I can nitpick about whether or not it's sustainable to, you know, only rush four, not be able to get any pressure on the opposing quarterback unless you blitz. You and I can talk about that another time. But sure, defense is off the hook for now.
But why does it matter, though? Because they look bad at the end of last year. Remember, they almost lost to Carolina. They should have lost to Denver. They just did not look like a team. And then they beat your Bills in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like, all of a sudden, Travis Kelce comes to life. Why does it matter anything as long as they get in the playoffs? I think they're a team that can look bad and turn it on. So I don't even need them to look good. Like, you know, they're not the Lions where they love to score 50 points anymore. That Chiefs team is gone. I think they're more, they could win by 2 points and it'd be totally fine to me.
So, okay, but what, listen, you find yourself in a dogfight, anything can happen.
Yeah, no, they can't lose.
So, like,
give me that. 0-3 is bad.
I mean, like, ask the Cowboy fans how they felt against watching Russell Wilson throw bombs against them on Sunday.
Well, I'm honestly, that's where I am with this team. Like, they better forget looking good. They have to win this game. It's a 6.5-point spread, or that's what it opened at. That is not one of the biggest spreads of the week. Like, forget looking good. The Chiefs have to really, really come out, button everything up, and win this game. That's where I am with the Chiefs.
Like, okay, but isn't buttoned up mean you beat a team that could be picking in the top five in the draft this year by margin?
I know what you're saying, but it doesn't feel like the Giants are that team for some reason. I mean, I feel like a 21-17 win over here, I guess we're viewing the Giants a little differently. I don't see them as a joke. They have a decent amount of talent.
They gave up 40 points to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, like, but they threw for 500 yards.
I don't know. I think it does matter how it looks, because you can only... I know they played with fire a lot last year, and they were 15-2, but they didn't start out 0-2. And you and I guess, will disagree about the Chargers and how good they looked and all of that. You know,
this game's in New York.
I know.
This is not a given. By any means. And I'm sitting here, this is not, you have to win. You have to win this game. You do not have to win it pretty. And I'll tell you right now, like, the offense isn't going to be pretty. It's just not going to happen. I don't know if we're ever going to see that again. Here, I have a question for you. Does it matter if the Chiefs never get back to being the Chiefs offense? Does that mean the dynasty's over? In my opinion, no.
Well, it depends. Are they winning Super Bowls in this
the question is, can they win Super Bowls if they're never a high-octane offense again?
They've shown it. I mean, they won one 2 years ago, but I think that, and I've seen a little bit of this, and I kind of get where people are coming from, the idea that you could be wasting Patrick Mahomes' prime if you're not making this an offensive-centric team.
Mm.
Like, you have the Ferrari, and you're taking it out, and you're driving 30. Like, open it up a little bit, you know, see what this thing can do. And we already know what it can do because we've watched him be like the biggest offensive weapon in the entire league.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have, you know, not gone, you know, less, they haven't been less than the AFC championship game since 2018.
Well, I mean, listen, your solution of getting more targets to Nico Remigio.
I'm telling you.
Who is I'm just Googling this now. He's an undrafted wide receiver out of Fresno State. That's the key.
Listen,
Nico Remigio could walk in right now, and you would have no idea who he is.
Did we know who Julian Edelman was? No. Did we know who Chris Hogan was or any of these people? No, from the Patriots.
Who?
Wes Welker, I guess we kind of knew. But you know what I'm saying. If you're really doing that Patriots thing, then Nico Remigio becomes a guy we're talking about. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh, he had a 44-yard punt return in the AFC title game.
He's more of a special teams guy. But you have two of your biggest offensive weapons are hurt or suspended.
See, you're caught on the old Chiefs. You think they need to be the old Chiefs. You know, they don't need wide receivers. They don't need offense. Like, I think they found a new way to win. I don't know if it's sustainable, but I don't think that getting Hollywood Brown and all these receivers, Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy going, and they talked all offseason about returning the vertical offense. It's not happening, and I don't know if they need to. I think they're a tough-minded...
They're 0-2.
Right, but I'm talking about big picture. I don't think they're ever going to be that team that beat the Rams or lost to the Rams 54-51 on Monday Night Football. I think that team is gone. You know, they just don't have the weapons. The rest of the league has figured out their offense to some extent. So they pivoted, and now they're a new team, just like the Patriots. That's why Albert Breer's Patriots comparison makes so much sense. They redefined themselves five times within the dynasty. I think the Chiefs have come out, and they're a different team now. And they, if they get in the wild card, are going to be really dangerous.
Does it matter for the Chiefs, A, to win the division? That might be lost already. They're already, you know, down. But is it important how it looks against the Giants? Because you know who they play after the Giants?
Yeah, the Ravens.
The Ravens. And even if that game is at home, still, the Ravens, you know, are not going to be taking that game lightly. So
hit my ass!
888-710-4ISN.
The Ravens better be up by a lot because they will blow any lead possible. Again, a big game like that, the Ravens will find a way to blow a lead. So we'll see how that goes. But that looks bad. Like a sort of non-Rashee Rice Chiefs team against the Ravens seems like a tough assignment.
Well, think about it. Let's say that Sunday night, let's say the Giants really come to play, okay?
It's possible.
It's possible. Manny, we're not even toying with you. Like, let's just say this is reality.
Okay.
Say this is a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Now, God bless.
And their mom thinks that Mahomes is going to pull it out. But let's just say you're in this dogfight, Pearl, and then anything happens.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants...
Harrison Bucker missed a field goal, by the way. So, like, things happen. Weird stuff happens.
Not against the Giants. Not field goals against the Giants.
The Giants are playing for their season. They're a good 0-2 team. I'm sorry. I know that sounds weird. Like, they have some talent. They should have won that game. They were up with 24 seconds left.
So, if you're staring down the barrel, and let's just say there is a world where the Chiefs go to 0-3. Now, maybe Patrick Mahomes comes out and scores 5 touchdowns and throws 5 touchdowns and we all look stupid.
Probably what's going to happen.
Yeah,
no,
about right.
It's not happening.
0-3, and then you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, that's why it's not going to happen. That's why it's not going to happen.
What is it going to look like? Is it going to be one of these things where they're escaping by the skin of their teeth, or is it a get-right game?
I think to be honest with the Chiefs, they are hanging off with dear life. I don't think it matters what it looks like for them until Rashee Rice gets back. Like, to me, as long as they could just win some of these games and then Rice gets back, then you can see their offense as close to 100% as it can be. I don't know when Xavier Worthy's coming back.
Yeah.
But to me, as long as Rice is not there, this is kind of how they're going to look offensively. I think they're going to look kind of okay to mid and against the bad teams. I think they can light up the Giants. I don't think they have a problem with them. But even if they are in a close game, I just think they need to hold on for dear life until Rice gets back, and that's when they can really rev up the offense and get going in the second half.
The second half schedule is way easier. Look at last year. I'm looking at the last month of the season. They beat the Raiders 19-17, beat the Chargers 19-17, beat the Cleveland Browns, who were terrible at that point, 21-7. They don't blow teams out anymore. For better or worse, that is not who they are as a team. They're not going to – I don't see – and there's no 5 touchdowns coming from Patrick Mahomes. Those days are gone. Maybe I'm dead – I could be totally wrong about this, but I just don't see, like, who's he going to throw him to? Nico Remigio?
Yeah, exactly. Nico, our guy. But here's the other thing. You and I have talked about this, and we're talking about the Chiefs. You and I have talked about, and you bring it up a lot, the point differential for Super Bowl champions and how that actually is an indicator – for team success. How much are you beating teams by? How good are you? That actually is like a trackable, not only is it trackable, obviously it's trackable, we can all do math, but that is a correlating stat to success.
Usually Super Bowl teams blow out other teams. That's a fact. But last year, the Chiefs had a terrible point differential. They barely were above their opponents.
Right. And how long can they keep that going?
But they got out of it. Maybe a while. They got out of the AFC. I mean, last year, I have it right now, they were plus 59, where the Ravens were plus 157, and the Bills and the Ravens were tied at plus 157. So they were 100 points better, and they both, you know, fell out of the AFC playoffs. I don't know. Maybe it's a different time. Maybe it's the Patriots, Maggie. Maybe you've run into, as a Bills fan, you've run into the modern version of the New England Patriots.
Oh, yippee. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All right, you're welcome to weigh in on the Chiefs and how important is it for KC to look good against the New York Giants, not just escape with a 20-19 win or something like that. We've got a lot more for you, including Dabo Swinney at the mic yesterday in all of his Dabo glory, reminding everybody that he's the man.
By the way, I think I picked the wrong time to make fun of the Bills. Like, it's 6:18 Eastern in the morning. You're like, Maggie's like, I'm not going to have it right now. You're not. She just
gotta
immediately dismissed.
Got to give you the Dolphins to get ready for, Pearl.
She gave me a look like, no, we're not going there. We're not going there. Yeah, I know we lost 4 Super Bowls. Move on.
There's only so much I can take. I've got a breaking point.
Make me wanna.
Thank you. I've also got something from yesterday. So I went to a conference, and I feel like we've all been there when something like this has happened. When you're like at one of these things, like one of those schmoozing things.
Somebody put their hands in the bread, didn't use the tongs.
I don't think that's right.
No, but I just gagged a little. Yuck.
Oh, that happens all the time.
I know, and it's gross.
Yeah.
And I love a buffet too, so that makes me cringe.
Yeah, they got all the assorted, you know, pastries, croissants, and
people just touching
and
stuff.
And people decide, I'm just going to grab that right there instead of just using the tongs right there.
Yeah, I mean, we're in well-worn territory. Seinfeld double dipping.
Well, yeah. I mean, goodness gracious, you get thrown in jail for that now. Right, have to bring back cancel culture just for the double dippers.
Rightfully so.
If you go to a bar and there's a bowl of nuts there.
Ugh, don't do it, guys.
That's what alcohol is for, to ignore that and just eat the nuts.
Amen.
No, amen. This was something different that happened yesterday. And it was a fun conference, actually, but this annoyed me so much. And I feel like no matter who you are, what industry you work in.
What if it were Josh Allen?
Even if Josh Allen did this, he would not do this, actually.
Oh.
I don't think.
You would hope not.
And I think I would think of him, I would think less of him.
Wow.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got that for you as well. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. You're listening to Chiefs superfan Taylor Swift. Chiefs 0-2. Now we sort of started off the conversation, does it have to look good against the Giants? And I came away convinced, oh man, are the Chiefs about to lose to the Giants? Like, they better win this game. I don't care how it looks. They got to come out of this 1-2, headed into the Ravens game in week 4. Like, I don't view this team as the super team that it used to be. Now they are going to grind their way to success. Honestly, I think that they sneak into the playoffs and then are super dangerous to the playoffs. That's exactly how I see this season going for them.
Okay, well, home game for Taylor, by the way. Game's in New York, so she doesn't have to travel very far. But here's the other thing. Like, she's got a
Taylor
house here.
Taylor lives in New York?
Yeah, she's got a house right around the studio.
But that's not where. Is that her main residence?
I think so.
I think
maybe
she's
Nashville.
She's got LA too. In
Let's
Nashville.
Not get sidetracked.
All right,
that.
Janae.
No, there's no sidetrack. We're talking Taylor.
So here's the thing, though. You've got the game against the Giants, which you just said they've got to win this game, right? Kind of weird must win territory for Kansas City. When's the last time they had that in September? And by the way, even if they win this game, you play the Ravens the week after. Ravens look. You know, the collapse against the Bills in week 1, okay, rebounded pretty nicely against Cleveland, who's got a pretty good defense, in week 2. Even if Kansas City wins this game and they go to 1-2, we could be looking at 1-3.
Absolutely.
It's just, like, not ideal. And, yeah, maybe they'll make up ground and catch up and catch fire at the right time. Or we continue to question what's going on with the offense, and they're asking Mahomes to do way too much without giving him enough. And... you know, and then we'll see how this goes. And if you're a Charger fan or a Bronco fan or whatever, you're like hoping and praying probably.
Well, there's a lot of reasons to think the Chiefs will improve. A, their schedule lightens up majorly. I mean, listen, they started off with the Chargers in Brazil and then the Eagles in week 2, defending champion, then Ravens in week 4. Secondly, they'll get Rashee Rice back. That's a huge factor. He's arguably their best offensive player.
Yeah, but not before that Lions game. Isn't he out for 6 games?
Yeah, no, I'm saying the second half of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, they're figuring out the offensive line. They have a rookie left tackle. So there's reason to think that that line will be much better the second half of the season. I mean, honestly, if I'm a Bills fan, I need to see them at 0-6. then I can maybe breathe. I don't even care. 1-3, then it's still game on.
888-710-4ISN. Mentioned yesterday I was at a conference, and it was lovely. People from front office sports, if you're into that kind of thing. Sports.
Oh, FOS.
Yeah, sports media, sure. The business of sports, all that stuff. If you're into it, definitely check them out. They put on a great conference. This has nothing to do with them. This is a universal thing that if you've ever been to a conference in whatever field you work in, you've probably encountered this.
Names.
It's the worst thing, and maybe some people don't even realize they're doing it. It's not even the bad breath or EJ not using the tongs to get the bread out of the buffet.
Wow, I don't know what could be worse than that.
It's when people are talking to you and actively scanning behind your head to see if there's someone better that they should be talking to. Mm. It is the most Bush League move of all time. Yeah. Manny's doing it right now on the live stream, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Yeah. The craning your neck around someone else, not looking them in the eye. It's one thing to look down at someone's badge, okay? You don't remember, is it Mike, Mick, is it Jim, James, whatever. You look down at somebody's badge. It's not awesome. You should try to be, you know, sneaky when you do it if you don't remember somebody's name, you know, like a name tag. But if you are actively looking past the person you're talking to see if there's a better person you should be looking for.
Yeah.
I want to leave the conversation immediately. Just like, shame on you. I remember that about you, and I write you off.
Well, I mean, listen, have you been to Los Angeles? That's like the reality of every day. Like,
yeah, but you expect that in that kind of industry town or whatever. I'm saying at a conference, you're all there. Hey, nice to see you. Haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, this, Margaret. That,
and you're looking around to see who's behind me. What, Jimmy Pitaro? What, are you going to corner the head of ESPN?
Ooh, was he? Yeah, I mean, you said it's Bush League, though, but it's so common in Los Angeles. Like,
and
but
be I'm a man. Name a name.
Yeah, come on. Identify people.
Everybody.
Still, the whole conference.
I don't think you can call it Bush League because it happens all the time.
But isn't it, it's like bad form.
I take offense to this.
No,
You do this? Yeah. You're a neck craner?
Well, it's not the neck craning. It's just the inability to maintain eye contact.
Yeah, I think some of this is anxiety.
Listen, you don't have to stare deeply into my eyes. Listen, we're not dating. Listen. It's just you can also be into the conversation.
Anxiety.
I do think
anxiety is at an all-time high in this country.
No, I get that.
But sometimes you look up, you look away. I get that. Maybe eye contact's not your thing. I'm talking about actively looking around.
Well, where else am I going to look like? Where else am I going to look at if I have trouble maintaining the eye contact? Am I going to look down at your gigantic feet?
distracting. No, I'm saying you're actively not just like, I don't know where my eyes should rest, or like I'm trying not to stare or something like that. It's like you're behind me being like, and you can almost see the brain, you're not paying attention, and you're like looking like, oh, is that so-and-so?
Is that Jimmy Pitaro?
Yeah. All right.
Or is that like the head of Amazon?
Is that possible? Let me ask, can I float an idea?
Which eagle is that?
Can I float an idea to the guys? Maybe young Margaret Gray is talking to people and doesn't want to get stuck in a conversation with someone who can't do anything for her and is wondering, how can I talk to Jimmy Pitaro? So maybe you secretly have the desire to do the same thing because you don't want to get stuck with Billy, who used to be your PA in 2018. So I think I sense a little one finger pointing at the person, four pointing back at me.
Listen, I know how to excuse myself from a conversation.
I don't. I got stuck the other day at an event talking to Billy, literally your PA from 2018, for about a half an hour, trying to talk to like industry execs.
That's so, on you. You got to be like, hey, can we, I'm sorry. I got to grab a little bit of water. Got to do this. I got to do that.
Oh, so lie.
Excuse yourself.
So, but absolutely, you know what I'm talking about. Like, admit in your mind, like, man, I want to get out of this conversation so I can talk to that person who could do something for me.
But here's the thing. Nobody can read my thoughts unless I start craning my neck around them to see whether or not I can I can get to Chris Oliver, like whoever it is. Like,
people are better actually at reading your subtle intonations than you might think.
Pearl, I'm not the problem here. I'm calling out the problem. It's just interesting to me that when you call out a problem,
I mean, it's basic psychology. You basically have the problem.
Yeah, but is that called projecting?
Transference.
Transference.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, to be honest, I'm insulted. It is.
No, let's face it, by the way. I want to know who's more important behind you. Like, that's reality, babe. It happens to me all the time.
I turn around. It's actually like,
Yeah. I believe me. I've been the guy who's got it.
Oh, yeah, McLovin, the Eagles look great. Is that Dan Patrick back there?
Move away.
There's a million people who look over my shoulder. I could care less. Like, I don't want to talk to them either.
Right, is the lesson here to get more important so you're the person that they want to talk to? That you're the end game?
You have to know who to talk to. Like, you can sense, like, oh, this is, like, everyone knows, like, the executives who are scumbags. Like, you avoid them. Like, the former ESPN guys. I'm not going to name names. Like,
identify people.
Here's the other thing.
I mean, like,
everyone
knows who's doing in this industry.
What is this FBI redacted conversation we're having here?
What is this, the White House? What is this?
No, but you want to know something. There are, see, the people who do look you in the eye, we're talking about when you're at a conference and you're doing the schmooze thing at a coffee break or the lunch break or whatever, no matter what industry you're in, and you always got that person who's in a conversation with you, but they're looking around behind your head to see if someone more important or interesting is there they should be talking to.
Billy.
So the thing is, I was talking to some people who are way more important than me, you know?
Cool.
And they were actually looking me in the eye. Some were. And I respected and appreciate that. If you're like more busy, more powerful, higher on the hierarchy than I am, and you actually give me the time of day for 5 minutes and not start looking around my head, I remember that. I remember you can actually, it's not about eye contact necessarily. It's about not just looking for the sweeter, like, ass kiss.
I think there's one time where this is appropriate. Where I if this happened to me, and it definitely has, I say, you know what? I get it. I'm not going to be mad. If you are at like a party and your boy is talking to you or whatever, and they trying to find, you know, the next, you know, hot thing that's out there. That's, yeah.
This is not that.
Yeah. Yeah. That I'm like, all right, I get it. Or same, or a woman's, a woman could be like, hey, like, you know, you're a five. I'm looking for a nine. Like, and I'm like, I get it. Whatever. I'm not tripping. Like those.
EJ, this wasn't that kind of mixer.
I know, but I'm saying, I'm thinking of like,
yeah, there probably was a corner or two.
When this would be acceptable.
There were four women there.
I'm trying to think when this would be acceptable. That's the only time I can think of. I think when that happens at a bar or a party, I think everyone has to just, you know, that you got to live and die by the game.
Oh, yeah, I'm not blocking anybody. That, I'll be scanning the crowd with you.
Can I ask a side question? Do women give numbers to men? I never heard about that.
Like, me either. I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, are guys fives and nines? I thought women were, like, more about the personalities.
Oh, I thought you meant phone number for a second. You mean,
like I know
scale?
Men, oh, you mean men give women. Yeah, like, no, men give women 1 to 10, but I don't think women judge that exactly.
It's not our shorthand.
No, no.
We've got other identifiers. Yeah, yeah, we don't.
I feel like it's more likely a man would call another man an 8 than a woman.
Probably.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Bogus, you're a 7.
Look people in the eye, or don't even look them in the eye, but be, whatever conversation you're in, just be in that conversation for 45 seconds. Not that hard.
Don't lecture me.
Lecturing America.
So if you can only maintain eye contact for 30 seconds, don't talk to Maggie Gray.
But can I say another thing too, by the way? If you guys, I don't know if anyone here has been to a conference with Maggie and I'm awful. I just want to hide into the wall. Maggie will go up to anybody. We were at the premiere of the movie Hustle.
Yeah.
And she's working the room, like talking to all the former NBA players. Like, yeah, you're really good at walking up to people. I am not.
You want to know why?
Well, yeah, why?
Because it's an efficiency thing. We're here. I haven't seen Tobias Harris since he was in high school. What am I going to do? Why am I going to be intimidated? Bam. Go up, talk to him. I'm like, I'm trying to maximize my time.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't do it. Like, you had a half-hour conversation with Billy King.
Yeah, we had a lot to iron out in those Nets days. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, former Duke star. And
why'd you give up all those first-round picks?
We were just about to get there, and but then the movie started.
Are you guys more like me, where you sort of sit in the corner talking to Bill, the one Maggie's PA from 2018?
Yeah. Or by the way, name's Scott. You had it totally wrong. I just didn't have the heart to tell you.
Are you saying hi to former athletes like Maggie?
I'm not talking to anybody.
I'm probably
my anxiety. My anxiety kills me in those situations. Yeah, yeah. I'm not good at that stuff.
Not only am I not talking to anybody, just sitting in a corner, I am looking at the wall.
Yeah.
And it really sucks because, like, I always go to the NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists Conference. I try to go every year. And that's, like, the biggest, like, you got to go talk to people. But these are people you admire. So that was even harder. It's not just a random conference. He's like, these are the people like I want to be, or people that are at my level that I respect. And my anxiety is crippling.
Can I just tell you what might be able to get over that?
What's that?
First, anxiety is a feeling, it goes away. Second, you need just a good opener. You need like a couple lines that are kind of funny or,
hey,
you know.
Hey, do you like Jalen Brunson too?
It's a great opener.
How about that Trent Grisham?
What a mustache on that guy, huh?
Be like, how do you like my mustache? Do you think it looks like Trent Grisham's? I mean, silly things. It makes you memorable. It's just an opener.
Oh, Maggie. Wait, Maggie, like an individual, like a solid generic opener that you can use on anyone or a specific situation?
I think it depends. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's not going to work on everybody.
Okay.
But, you know, I'll do anything from like, you know, like, what's the most interesting thing you've heard today? Or, you know, what's the problem you're trying to solve over here? Or,
like, at a conference,
you know, has anyone ever told you look exactly like Robert Redford? I don't know. Whatever it is. I don't usually do that, but something like that.
Can I paint a sad picture for you guys?
Yes.
We were at the Barrett Media Bash. Jason Barrett covers the industry, and he had a 10-year celebration party. A lot of big executives were there.
Yeah.
I am in a corner talking to Carlos Ortiz and Ryan Hickey. Ryan Hickey, both who produce on the Infinity Sports Radio Network. And the three of us are having a half-hour conversation about Daniel Jones while they're in the
industry. Happily, right?
What?
Happily having that conversation.
Yes, we were just like, thank God we have somebody to talk to. Because the worst is, then you're like, then everyone leaves and you just like look at your phone and pretend like you're texting your wife or something and there's nothing on there. So, yeah, I'm definitely, me, EJ, and Manny. And I don't know, Bogues, where do you land? Are you good in these situations?
No.
Yeah, yeah. The four of us and Maggie.
Why are we there?
You're going to go in there and blow the situation up.
You have to press the flesh for us. That's where you need to do
with your weird handholding.
That's the only thing I can do is press palms because I don't do the interlocking
fingers. Hands, Maggie. We got to work on your handshaking.
She interlocks fingers. Everyone's like, what is this?
My whole thing, why are we here? I could be somewhere else maximizing my time. I could be watching, you know, condensed games of rewatching Patriots Dolphins.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, we're not here to, you're saying we're not here to talk to Carlos and Ryan.
I love Carlos and Ryan. That'd be great.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, Ryan, I see every single day.
Yes.
He's right there. Right, he's like 18 feet from us now. I don't need to go to the party.
No, that's
to talk
Billy.
To
him. You should probably. So who's at the party?
Ryan will be here soon.
Yeah, it's early for Ryan.
Yeah, anyway. Maggie, the Bills look great. Is that reporter number two from Hustle?
Exactly.
Well, I've been in this industry a long time. I pretty much worked with everybody at all these conferences.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Everyone looks kind of familiar. And so that's the other thing, too. You look familiar. Where do I know you from? When's the last time we saw each other? Great to see you. Da-da-da-da-da. It's just so easy.
Yeah, it's not, though.
Yeah, it sure isn't.
It's not.
Are you afraid you're going to get rejected by somebody?
No. Yep. I mean, my assumption is that most people don't want to talk to me.
So well, that's why would a you
I go?
Thing.
Yeah, no, I know. But I don't think it's as easy to go like it's a feeling it goes away. Like there are things that people like talking to people in those settings is a big deal for certain people.
Sure. And then
it's hard.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I'm not discounting that. But there's also like setting goals for yourself. I don't have to talk to every single person in the room if that's not your thing. I didn't do that yesterday. But you know, you can make it a goal. I'm gonna have one conversation with a stranger today.
Yeah,
that's it.
Maggie, we don't have this problem where people are looking over our shoulders because we're not talking to anyone important enough to look over our shoulders.
Bruce,
yeah, I mean,
how's it feel getting into the combine?
Yeah,
I'd love to have your confidence or lack of fear, but I could never walk up to someone and go, what problem are we solving over here? That's just not how I roll. There's no chance that would ever happen.
Yeah, because then they'll say, oh, this, that, and a third, this is the problem. What's your solution, Bogus?
Yeah,
and
no then, thanks. I'm out.
I'm not approaching three people who are in a conversation already. Another lone wolf. You know, another stag, another person who's just sitting there looking around on their phone.
Yeah, you have a lot of work to do with this crew, Maggie. Like, your work is cut out for you to make us.
She do some kind of workshop. Maybe
I've seen it. She's really good. She's actually an adult in these situations.
We are the Colorado Rockies when it comes to conferences. Mm.
Yeah, you guys just take it out.
But actually, you know what's so funny, EJ? A lot of, you know, we meet people, you introduce us to people that you've met at that conference, the Super Bowl. Yeah. So you're making some connections.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's been people who I actually ended up meeting probably before the conference. Mm. A couple I have, which is, that was, again, getting over crippling anxiety.
Oh.
To be like, I just think you're really cool. can we be friends? That's kind of the deal.
I mean, that's your best opener. Hey, I watch your stuff. I read your stuff. Yeah. I think this was great about it. The more specific you can get, the better. Anyway, that was that. So that was
I learned nothing on how to talk to people.
I can help you, man.
Don't move your neck when you're talking to Maggie Gray.
Yeah, look me in the eye, damn it.
Okay, sounds good. I'll just walk around like I have a stiff neck, like I slept wrong all night.
Like Peyton Manning after four neck surgeries. Sorry. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Folks, hang with us. We just blew that. Any other bad etiquette from conferences that you notice?
Okay, I have one.
Wait, hold it.
I have one. I want to save it. And this is a... This one is a little dicey. This involves the opposite sex.
Let's do it.
Nice.
From me, that is. Talking about the ladies.
Stick.
So smooth.
All right. We'll get to that next. Maggie Perloff.
Omaha! Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
and T's apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're talking about conference / party etiquette. It turns out all the guys here are wallflowers and
our
Maggie.
Guys.
What's that?
Well, I think we're guys.
Yeah, yeah. And Maggie knows how to talk like an adult to other adults. but I had a thing at a conference, I'll sell real quick, a couple weeks ago where I met a woman in the industry.
Yeah.
And she was, for some reason, said, okay, let's, why don't you email me and I'll tell you about my product or something. And I'm like, oh, just DM me on Twitter.
Sure.
And she's, I said something like DM me. She's like, okay, what's, I said DM me. And she goes, okay, what's your account name? And I said, Andrew. She's like, and she wanted to send me a note on LinkedIn, which is like this professional social media thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't do LinkedIn. And I'm like, why don't you just do Instagram? She's like, oh, you want me to DM you on Instagram? Like that was something. You know,
oh, no.
She implied that nefarious. Was like sliding into DMs,
you
Kevin Durant style.
Oh, no.
I did not know.
You
like,
should have.
So, by the way, I haven't checked my DMs on Instagram in probably 6 years. But
oh, that's why you didn't hit me back up.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a party foul by me. That implies.
I mean, accidentally, it was a party foul. But yeah, I wouldn't have asked for anybody's Instagram.
That's, wait, hold on one second.
Yeah.
So basically what Perloff did, because I'm in your camp, I would have never known if I was like, yeah, hit me on any of these socials that all of a sudden I was inviting somebody. But it's not like hit me on Tinder.
Well, right. But also, I think
Bumble.
That hit me on Twitter, apparently no one under 30 knows what Twitter even is. So if you say hit me on
Twitter anymore.
Hit me on X, you're probably already married with three kids. So that's safe.
And but 10 burgers. Yeah,
Instagram is a little dangerous.
Well, when you asked, like, do girls give numbers? And we all thought phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
In
yeah.
my brain right away, I was like, no, they do Instagram now. Like Instagram is like that's what you do. You share Instagrams when you meet somebody
but also,
and you want to keep talking.
The setting, maybe like you're at a conference, right? It's not like you were at a bar in you know in Soho or whatever, then you know ask for an Instagram.
Have you heard none of the stories about media industries?
No, which ones?
The ones about creepy guys.
There are creepy guys in there?
Yeah. But also LinkedIn, like I'm sorry, I'm not like a marketing manager from like
people
Des Moines.
Love
I'm on
LinkedIn.
TV
love
for God's sakes. Why would I need a LinkedIn?
I'm in movies.
Yeah. I'm like, right.
Call
I'm
my agent, woman.
Yeah. I'm in sports media on a sports talk radio. I'm not an adult. I don't have a LinkedIn. I'm like, sorry, I don't have a 10-point PowerPoint presentation for you. That's whenever I hear LinkedIn, I'm like, that is not me.
I don't have one either.
Yeah.
Wow. I know.
Yeah,
I don't have one.
You guys yeah. Do you use it though?
No.
Like not a lot, but
what do you put your take on the Knicks on LinkedIn? Like what's on there?
I post like, oh, I did this show or
Listen,
I'm posting a show.
We still need it. Don't belittle us little people just because your name is on the show.
But isn't it a business thing more than a media thing?
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be.
Depends on who you connect with.
I don't have it because there was an incident many years ago.
Oh,
See, it doesn't matter. That's the thing. That's why I feel like while I understand why the person thought it was weird, like Perloff is not guilty because I feel like creepy things can happen in any platform.
Yeah.
Any platform. So I just don't think that it had to be Instagram.
All right. Let's get to Andrew Bogish. Who's got the latest? Let's do sports on a sports show.
Headlines still sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks, use code PRIMETIME, and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. For restrictions and details. What a glorious sight. Shohei Ohtani doing what Pearl doesn't like, pitching and hitting against his favorite team.
His 2-1 pitch is sliced in the air to right field. Teoscar Hernandez drifting toward the corner. He is there to make the catch. And Shohei Ohtani is still without a hit against. 5 no-hit innings, 5 shutout innings.
Steven Nelson on Dodgers Radio. 5 no-hit innings from Ohtani. But unfortunately for the Dodgers, There were four other innings to play, and their bullpen didn't have any more Ohtanis in it.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive down the right field line. It's hooking to the corner, and it's going to be gone. It just clears over the short wall in the right field corner, and Rafael Marchand has his moment. A three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. His second home run of the season.
A tie-breaking three-run homer, top nine. Once Ohtani stopped pitching, the Phillies immediately scored six runs to take the lead.
That's unfortunate.
L.A. got even thanks in part to Ohtani's 50th homer of the season. But then that homer that you just heard in a 9-6 Phillies win, their magic number for a first-round bye, down to four, while they remain a game and a half behind the Brewers for NL home field. Milwaukee down the Angels last night, 9-2.
That might be the shortest home run I've ever seen, by the way. You know that short right field in Dodger Stadium?
Yeah.
That thing, that was basically a line drive over the second baseman's head that went out of the stadium.
Trevor Story hit a 302-foot home run the other day against the Yankees at Fenway Park. You want to talk about little league ballparks, small ballparks.
Well, we've been talking about it. The home run numbers are going up. Dodger Stadium's been there forever, but some of these home runs are not very long.
And so is Fenway.
The Seattle Storm stopped the Aces' 17-game win streak, 86-83, so that best of three first-round series goes the distance. Game three is in Vegas tomorrow night. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you so much. Lots more to do. Quickly, do I have time for Darren in Dallas? Darren, you've been holding tight. You wanted to talk to Perloff about one of his favorite athletes. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to not rub it in, but I don't know if Perloff, hey, Scotty did it again, right?
Yep.
10 shots down, closes the deal. Only guy besides Tiger Woods to win back-to-back six win 2 years in a row. So what say you?
I say, where are all the live guys in all these PGA tournaments?
I want them to come in.
Yeah, Maggie and I had it when we saw you on the call screener. Do you judge Scheffler on majors or PGA wins or both?
All of it. Just dominant. You know, 10 down, come back. He's the only guy that those guys fear, and I told you that before. They see his name, they know he's coming.
Yeah.
So, Darren, thank you for the phone call.
And hey, say hello to my boss, Jason Wettenhall.
Yo, Jason!
Jason at a conference. Now that guy knows the etiquette.
No, that guy makes no eye contact.
Yeah, Perloff doesn't think Scottie Scheffler should get full credit for these PGA Tour wins because the live guys aren't there.
Scottie Scheffler, one of my favorite athletes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.